بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Having a lot of technical difficulties today. Allah musta'an. Okay, today this is our 18th session. Session number 18, reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh. Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Last week we started the new chapter, Kitab al-Salat. And we read the definition of as-Salat, and we read some of the yani usages or applications of the word as-Salat in the Sharia, yani as it came in the Quran and Sunnah. And we also read the manzila, or the station or status of as-Salat, and the hukum of as-Salat. And today, inshallah, we're going to start on page 28, hukum tarik as-Salat, yani the ruling concerning the one who abandons the Salat. And also, we're going to read ala man tajibu as-salat and salat as-sabi, perhaps, inshallah. We'll see how far we can go. But just quickly, yani to refresh our memories a little bit, we said in the ta'rif as-salat that salat is used to refer to a number of different things. Yani, what are some of the things that the word salat, the Arabic word salat, is used for in the Sharia, in the Quran or in the Sunnah? Some of the things. Yani it's used to refer to, Muhammad?
Prayer,
it's used to refer to prayer. Okay, what else? I mean, that's the obvious meaning of it, salat, right? What else?
Ad-du'a.
Ad-du'a. Sometimes it's used to refer to ad-du'a also. Any other meaning? Supplication, du'a. Okay, istighfar also, seeking forgiveness also. Another meaning that's not common yani in our usage. It's also used, as it came in the Quran, وَلَوْلَا دَفَعُ اللَّهَ النَّاسَ بَعَدَهُمْ بِبَعَدٍ لَحُدِّمَتْ سَوَامِعُ وَبِيعَ وَالصَّلَوَاتٌ وَالصَّلَوَاتٌ
رَحْمَةٌ.
Okay, رَحْمَةٌ مَغْفِرَةٌ also, but in this ayah the meaning is salawat is what? بيوت العبادة, places of worship. يعني here in this particular place, salawatun in this ayah means the kana'is of al-Yahud, the place of worship for the Yahud, salawat. Okay, so in any case, the word salat and salawat and sallu, its various forms, has different meanings. Sometimes it's used in reference to du'a, sometimes it's used in reference to al-maghfirah and rahmah, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sometimes it's used to mean buyut al-ibadah. And the technical meaning in the Sharia, yani amongst the ulama of fiqh, is what? What is the meaning? Okay, prayer, yani yes, prayer, but we want the technical definition. Technical definition that as it's used in yani in the with the scholars of fiqh. Now,
It includes saints.
The first word that came in the ta'rif is it is an ibadah. Ibadatun. Naam. Tadammanu.
Sayings and actions.
Naam.
That start with takbir and end with taslim.
That start with takbir and end with taslim. Okay, I want somebody to read to me the definition. Read it to me, naam.
Amma as-salatu fi istilahi al-fuqaha'i fahiyya ibadatun tatadammanu aqwalan وأفعالا مخصوصة مفتتحة
two T's. نعم. يعني this is from باب افتعل. If تعل. Okay. So there's a ta that's added in this باب if تعل. And then there's ta from the original form of the verb فتح. So there are two ta's. One is from the original root of the verb فتح, and the other one is from the added letters from if. Ta'ala, if ta'ala, other second ta. So it's muftatahatun.
Muftatahatun bit takbiri مختتمة بالتسليم.
طيب, so as far as the word salat, in the istilah, the technical terminology of the fuqaha, fuqaha means what? The plural of? Faqih. Yani the people who have knowledge of fiqh. So the technical terminology amongst the scholars of fiqh is ibadatun, an act of worship, tatadammanu, that includes within it aqwalan wa af'alan makhsusatan. Yani aqwalan, sayings, af'alan, actions, makhsusatan,
specific
sayings, specific actions, not any sayings, not any actions, specific actions. Any bowing, standing, sitting is not all actions, but specific actions. Al qiyam, wal qu'ud, wal sujood, like this. Specific actions, specific sayings, specific actions. Muftatahatun, yani being opened with a takbir. Wa mukhtatamatun, and being closed with a taslim. This is the technical definition. Anybody memorize it now? We just went over it two times. Naam.
Fi
istilah. Yani mudaf mudaf ilayh. First word doesn't take alif lam.
Fi istilah al-fuqaha'i fahiya ibadatun
tatadammanu
aqwalan wa
af'alan aqwalan wa af'alan
aqwalan wa af'alan
aha
assalamu alaykum
wa salam
makhsusatan
muftatahatun
bi taqdiri
مختتمة yeah, it's not from the first part of the sentence. نعم بالتسليم. Anybody else want to recite it from memory? Musa was next.
الصلاة في استلاح
No. Yani, well, we're going to join it, right? We're going to join it. Fistila, without alif lam. Fistila.
Fistila.
Naam. Fistilahi.
Fistilahi al-fuqaha'i fahiyya ibadatun tatadammanu aqwalan wa af'alan
مخصوصةً.
مخصوصةً.
It's a not describing them. Not.
مخصوصةً. مفتتحةٌ بالتكبير. مختتمة بالتسليم.
أحسنت. ما شاء الله. أبو بكر.
هي عبادة.
عبادة تتضمن
أفعالا وأقوالا.
Okay, no problem. أقوالا وأفعالا, no problem.
مخصوصة
not describing. نعم.
مخصوصة ومفتتحة.
مفتتحة.
مفتتحة.
أها.
بالتكبير ومفتتحة.
مختتمة بالتسليم. Okay, I just want to, just from the linguistic perspective, the word مفتتحتن is from, the root of it is فتحة, but it's from باب, يعني الأفعال المزيد, right? افتعل. So the فعل and the root فتحة, there's another تاء added to it. So if ta'ala, here fataha became if ta'taha. If ta'taha. Okay, and then this taramabuta added, because it's feminine. Why is it feminine? Muftatahatun. Why is it feminine?
Because
it's a not. Is it a not describing a feminine word?
Ibadatun is feminine.
Okay, because ibadah is feminine. Now, ibadatun يعني مفتتحة بالتكبير. And the same thing, مختتمة is from خاتمة. There's a ta in the root, and then it's from the same bab افتعلا, so there's an extra ta added, so it became يعني ختمة, became يعني اختتمة, اختتمة يعني مختتمة تون, مختتمة تون. Okay, just from يعني from the perspective of language. Okay, so we talked about this last week, these definitions. Then we said the manzilatu as-salat, يعني we said that it has a very high station because it's the main pillar of the deen, of which the deen will not stand. It will not stand without this pillar, as it came in the hadith, رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة. يعني the head of the matter, of the affair, is Islam, and its pillar, يعني post that's holding it up, is the salat. And then يعني we also mentioned that it is the first يعني matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أول ما أوجبه الله تعالى من العبادات بعد الشهادتين, يعني after the two testimonies of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, the first thing that Allah made obligatory upon the people was the salat. And this obligation was يعني arranged, or it was entrusted يعني by Allah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, directly by Allah speaking to the Prophet in person without any intermediary. And due to the greatness of this salat over the other acts of worship, it has some special affairs that are exclusive to it, and that is that an announcement or a call, yani nida or adhan, has been legislated to announce the time of the prayer, and also that it has been made obligatory that a person purify themselves for the prayer, and also the prayer is obligatory whether the person is traveling or resident, in fear or in safety, in every condition, even if a person is sick, unless what? Unless they are unconscious, or they have lost their mind, insane. Otherwise, as long as a person has consciousness or sanity, then it is obligatory to make salat. Finally, we said the hukm of salat is that it is, what is the hukm of salat? Yani, is it mustahab? Is it makruh? Is it mubah? It's fard ayn, which means that what? That it's obligatory on every individual. And it's obligatory on every individual. Of course, there are some specifications. Every yani individual that is a Muslim, that is balig, reached the age of maturity, and is sane. But in any case, the point is, it's fard ayn, meaning on every Muslim who is balig, who is yani aqil, not yani fard kifaya, which would mean if it was fard kifaya, it means what? That it's obligatory on the whole group. As long as one member of the group fulfills it, or some members of the group fulfill it, then everybody else is free of blame. If nobody does it, then everybody is to blame. But this is fard ayn, every individual Muslim, yani who has reached the age of responsibility and who is sane, is responsible to pray. And from the evidences, we mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 110th Ayat, and likewise Surah Al-Bayyinah, 98th Surah, 5th Ayat. And also the hadith of Ibn Umar from the Prophet ﷺ that Islam is built upon five, and from amongst them is the establishment of the salat. And then finally we said, also from the evidences for the obligation of salat, besides ayats in the Quran and hadith, a third source of evidence that salat is obligatory is what? Stop. Did anybody review this lesson before you came to class?
No. Yes. Which lesson? This one?
Yeah, this lesson. Yes, somebody reviewed it, mashallah. Okay, so we said the proof that it's obligatory are many. From amongst them are ayahs from the Quran, we mentioned some of them. From amongst them is authentic hadith, and we mentioned something from that. And the third type of evidence of the obligation of salat is al-ijma'u. What do we mean by ijma'u? Consensus, meaning that it's agreed upon. Yani, there's agreement, total agreement, consensus, by the scholars of Islam that this is obligatory, that it is obligatory, that the salat is obligatory, and it is one of the pillars of Islam. Rather, it is the most important pillar of Islam after the shahadatain. Okay, now we're going to look at the hukm of tarik as-salat. That's what we want to talk about today, the hukm of tarik as-salat. What do we mean by tarik as-salat? What is the meaning of tarik as-salat?
person that leaves some.
The person who has
abandoned
the salat. Yani tarik is ism fa'il. Ala wazn fa'il. Yani the one who does the action of the verb. Taraka means to leave. Tarik is the one who leaves. In the same way that katib is the one who kataba. And jalis is the one who jalasa. So tarik is the one who taraka. Yani who left. What form is this one? Ism fa'il. Ism fa'il. Tarik is salat. Yani is salat. What is the i'rab of salat here? مضاف إليه مجرور وعلامة جره كسرى. Okay. تارك الصلاة على ضربين. على ضربين. يعني the abandonment of salat. ترك الصلاة. يعني this chapter is subchapter is titled حكم تارك الصلاة. حكم تارك الصلاة. The ruling concerning the one, the person who abandons salat. And what we mean by abandonment of salat is that a person willingly, voluntarily, consciously, knowingly doesn't pray. Yani the time for the prayer came and the time for the prayer left and they have no sharia excuse. And they didn't pray. They just said, I know it's time for prayer. Nobody is forcing me not to pray. I'm just not going to pray. Just not going to pray. No sharia excuse. Not like, what could be a sharia excuse that a person, time for the prayer came and the person didn't pray until it ended and they still didn't pray? What could be excuse? Huh? No, slow down. I want to hear this one.
Maybe you were in the emergency room.
He was in the emergency room. If a person is in the emergency room and they can't go to the masjid, they can't stand up, they can't sit up, you can pray lying down. As long as you're conscious, you have to pray. You cannot allow for the time for the prayer to come and for it to end and don't pray. Unless you have a legitimate excuse. What could be the legitimate excuse? Maybe?
Oh,
you a doctor? He left it open. Okay, so he's going to help you. He's going to say you're a doctor, you're performing a critical a surgery. The person, you're operating on the person's head, their brain, and if you leave them, they will die. Okay, you're excused. That's emergency. But we're not even talking about emergency. We're just talking about Sharia. Normal Sharia situation. Okay, a naim, the person who slept, they set the alarm clock. But still they didn't wake up. They told somebody, make sure you wake me up at 5 o'clock, and that person didn't come. Person is sleeping, okay, naim, hatta istaykhad. Person is excused if they're sleeping until they wake up. But they should have taken precautions to make sure that they wake up. Don't go to sleep, knowing you're very tired, and it's almost time for salat in 45 minutes, and you know you're not going to wake up by yourself, and you don't tell somebody to wake you up. You don't set the alarm, you don't make some means to get up, okay? Another excuse.
Loss of consciousness.
Loss of consciousness. The person is unconscious, they're not aware of what's happening, they're unconscious now.
A woman in the state of
until they retain their consciousness, huh?
A woman who is in the state of menstruation.
A woman who is in the state of menstruation. She's not allowed to pray in that condition. Okay, so there are some situations. Maybe a traveler, they can make it the prayer later. Yani you can pray Dhuhr and Asr in the time of Asr, or you can pray Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha. You can delay the prayer. Yani two of those prayers, Dhuhr and Asr. Yani there are some Sharia excuses, right? But in the absence of Sharia excuse, person consciously, knowingly, willingly, they have no Sharia excuse. And they just say, I just don't feel like praying. I'm not going to pray now. And the time for the prayer went, this is kufr. Doesn't mean that the person has to abandon the prayer for a whole week or a whole month. Even one salat. By ijma' as-sahaba. Sahabat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are in agreement. By consensus, ijma' that a person who willingly, knowingly, consciously abandons one prayer out of his time, this is kufr. This is kufr. Okay? So what we're talking about is the person who consciously, knowingly, willingly just says, I'm just not going to pray. I mean, I don't care. It's time for salah. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to pray. This, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. That's the point. We cannot do this. Now, okay, we said that there are legitimate excuses. We're saying some of the legitimate excuses. A person who forgot until he remembered. A person who slept until he woke up. A person who was unconscious or lost their mind until he regained it. a woman who's in menses, person who's traveling, combining two prayers. There are some Sharia excuses. But in the absence of those, and we're saying the person who has no Sharia excuse, just says, I'm just not going to pray. I just don't feel like praying right now. I don't want to pray. Now.
It's a general question, but this could be included. So like the things that nullify one's Islam, such as consciously not praying on time.
Now.
So with other things too, what about the person doesn't know that these things nullify one's Islam, but they know like, okay, they know Salah is obligatory, or they know that if they say something, you know how saying something halal is haram or vice versa?
No.
That they say that nullifies one's Islam?
Yeah.
What about they don't know these are things that nullify one's Islam? They're not knowledgeable to
no.
that point.
Okay.
They know it's not right and
yeah.
they do it.
So a person knows that you have to pray, but they might not know that the magnitude of the gravity of the affair. They might not realize that, wow, this actually takes you out of Islam. Maybe they don't know. Maybe actually they don't even know the hukm concerning the salat. So there are some condition, yani the person who is a new Muslim, the person who is in a land where there are no scholars and they just became a Muslim and there's nobody to ask and nobody to teach them, they may be excused. Okay? That is called al-udhr bil-jahl. The person who is excused due to the fact they don't know. They don't know. But of course, anybody in the Muslim land, person who's been a Muslim 20 years, you're not excused. If you don't know by then, you're not excused. Al-udhr bil-jahl is not absolute. It doesn't mean that every person who doesn't know something is excused. No, it means the person who doesn't know because there was no way for him to know. There was no way for her to know. There was no chance for them to know. But as far as the person who had the chance to know, but they just didn't bother. Like, I'm not interested in that. So that person who doesn't know, they're not excused. Because why? It's obligatory upon you to know. طلب العلم فريضتون على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge of this deen, of the essentials of the deen, is obligatory on every Muslim. So you're not excused if you just said, look, if I learn, then that means I got to do this stuff, so I'm not going to learn. So then I'm excused. Not so. Not so. Okay, this is the line of some of the people of ignorance. I'll say specifically this because I heard this myself. I heard the people in Jamaat al-Tabligh saying, don't go with those people and learn all of that, you became responsible. If you learn all of that, you became responsible. So don't go to the majalis al-ilm, yani where the scholars are teaching Sharia knowledge and Sunnah and all of this. Don't go there. Just go out with us for 40 days. And you'll learn. But you'll learn from who? From people who don't know. فَاقَدْ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْتِهِ. The one who doesn't know something, he can't give it. So they told the brother in the masjid next to my house, read this book. Nobody checked to realize that he didn't know how to read. They just told him, put him up there. Your turn to read. Your turn to speak. They told somebody who was a new Muslim. Allah, he was a new Muslim. Maybe he had been a Muslim 1 week. This is when I was in the Emirates. And they put the guy up there to speak. And he doesn't know anything. So he just said some things, whatever came to his mind. He doesn't know anything. And he's just speaking. Wallahu musta'an. This is dangerous. The person who doesn't know because he doesn't have any way to know, he may be excused. As far as the person who doesn't know because he doesn't want to know, is not excused. Hukum tariki as-salati. The ruling of the one who abandons the salat. Yani willingly, knowingly, consciously. It's not that they forgot. It's not that they were under compulsion. Somebody had a gun to their head, told them, don't pray. If you move, I'll kill you. Well, he's not going to pray. Or at least he's not going to pray. And he's standing and bowing and sitting, he may just sit there and think through it. Whisper something, yani make some head movements or whatever, but yani, whatever, that person is excused because they're under compulsion. Okay, tarku, the master, tarku as-salati, yani leaving or abandoning the salat, ala darbain. Yani it has two forms, or there are two yani situations or conditions for abandonment of salat. The first of them is tarku juhudin wa inkarin. And the second of them is tarku takasulin aw tashagulin. Okay, that's point one and point two. I didn't read the whole thing. I just want to put in our mind the framework that we're talking about, two things. One of them is tarku juhudin wa inkarin. And then if you go down three or four lines, you see tarku takasulin aw tashagulin. So these are the two yani forms or types or circumstances under which there's abandonment of salat, and each of them have their own situation, circumstance. Yani the way we will look at it, the way the ruling on that person. Tarku as-salat ala darbain. The abandonment of salat has two forms. One, tarku juhudin wa inkaran. Yani juhudin means denial or rejection. Inkaran means to refuse or to dispute a matter, to make inkar. Yani to refuse it, to reject it, to dispute it. So here's a person who what? Abandons the salat because they reject the obligation of salat. They refuse to pray. They dispute the legitimacy of this legislation of salat. They don't agree that you have to pray, that it's obligatory to pray. They don't accept this. They reject it. They deny it. They dispute it. Tarku juhudin wa inkarin laha. Yani they're rejecting the salat. They're denying the obligation of salat. وَهَذَا النَّوْعُ يُعَدُّ صَاحِبُهُ كَافِرًا خَارِجًا مِنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. فَهَذَا النَّوْعُ, this type of abandonment of salat, يُعَدُّ صَاحِبُهُ كَافِرًا خَارِجًا مِنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Yani meaning, صَاحِبُهُ, the one who abandons salat, juhudan wa inkaran, he is yu'addu, considered, counted as a kafir, considered to be a kafir. What kind of kafir? Kharijan min millati al-Islam, who is going outside of the deen of Islam. Yani this is different than the kafir kufra ni'am, yani the person who is ungrateful. That's a different type of kufr. Yani kufr and shukr, opposite of each other. This is a different type of kufr. This kufr is what? Kharij min millat al-Islam. The person who goes out of Islam. They are no longer a Muslim. Okay? This should show us the gravity of this matter, the severity of the matter, that a person who abandons salat under this darb, under this form, or this type, is a person who has gone out of Islam. They are not a Muslim. And here I want to note that the issue of declaring somebody to be a kafir is a very serious matter. It's not something that we should engage in. It's not our responsibility. It's the responsibility of the scholars to declare any individual to be a kafir. Takfir al-ayn, declaring a specific individual to be a kafir, is not our responsibility. That's not our responsibility. It's not for me or you or any one of us to say, I saw this person, he was sitting there, he knew it was time for salat, nobody was doing anything, he was conscious, he was aware, he just said, I'm not going to pray until the prayer is over, he's a kafir. That action is an act of kufr, but for as far as you declaring the individual to be a kafir, that's a different matter altogether. There are yani conditions, shurut and mawaniya, prohibitive factors that have to be considered before an individual person can be declared a kafir. This is the responsibility of scholars, okay? So as we go through this section, keep in mind, this is not our responsibility. Don't worry about it. Somebody did something that's an act of kufr, they said something that's a statement of kufr, it's not for me and you to declare that person to be a kafir. We can say, that type of action is an action of kufr. That type of statement is a statement of kufr, but it's not for us to say that the individual is a kafir. Okay, I hope that you understand this. Very important matter. All the scholars of Sunnah talk about this issue under this subject of kufr. Yani hukm, yani declaring a person, yani making a ruling on a person to be a kafir. Yani. Okay, so the one who abandons the salat due to their rejection, their refusal, their denial, their disputing the validity, the yani correctness of the ruling that salat is obligatory, hadha and no, this type of person who does it for this reason, يُعَدُّ صَاحِبُهُ, the one who does it is counted or considered as a kafir, who is outside of the millah of Islam. He is no longer a Muslim. She is no longer Muslim. وَحَدُّهُ الْقَتْلُ لِإِرْتِدَادِهِ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحَدُّهُ يعني حد is the singular of حدود. The meaning of حد here is what? The penalty. The punishment for this person is al-qatlu. What does al-qatlu mean? It doesn't mean fighting. It means killing. Qatlu, yani killing, execution by the head of state. Not by the vigilantes. Yani this person abandoned salat, let's go and kill him. No. In the Muslim state, the head of the state or whoever he authorized can execute a person for abandonment of salat. When the conditions have been fulfilled and the mawaniya have been in place, that this person, yani, there's no prohibitive factor to prevent us from declaring this person to be a kafir, and the conditions for declaring a person to be a kafir have been fulfilled, then the state might execute that person. They can do so. Not any individual. وَحَدُّهُ الْقَتْلُ لِإِرْتِدَادِهِ إِرْتِدَادِهِ يعني إِرْتَدَّ يَرْتَدُّ means
apostate.
Yeah, but literally here it means to apostate, to go outside of Islam, to leave Islam after being a Muslim. Irtadda, yani ridda, means that the person has gone out of Islam after having been a Muslim. So this person, the ruling concerning them or the punishment for this person is that they be executed due to their apostasy, yani going out of Islam after having been a Muslim. وَهَذَا مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهِ بَيْنَ عُلَمَاءَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And this is something that is agreed upon by consensus amongst the scholars of the Muslims. Yani there's no difference of opinion about this, that the punishment for abandonment of salat is execution. The Muslim scholars have no difference about it. It's not there's a view and there's an opinion and there's another opinion. No, this it's agreed upon by consensus. وَذَلِكَ لِإِنْكَارِهِ أَمْرًا مَعَلُومًا مِنَ الدِّينِ بِالدَّرُورَةِ. And the reason for this, the reason why this is agreed upon, is because this person has made inkar, yani rejection, refusal, denial of a matter, amran, ma'aluman, that is well known, مِنَ الدِّينِ, a well known part of the deen, بِالدَّرُورَةِ, of necessity. Yani is something that of necessity every person in the Muslim Ummah has to know. This this is something that everybody has to know. Okay, it is called what? Ma'alum min ad-deen bid-darura. It's something that's known from the deen of necessity. Everybody has to know it. Nobody can be a Muslim and say they don't know you have to pray. They don't know you have to fast in Ramadan. They don't know that yani there's La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There's nobody who's a Muslim that can say they don't know this. Unless they just became a Muslim last day, yesterday, last week. Even the person when they take Shahada, we're supposed to teach them the fundamentals of Islam. What are the pillars of Islam? What are the pillars of Iman? Even if just briefly explaining them. To know when they enter Islam, that they enter Islam with some knowledge, based upon knowledge. And that they believe this before they pronounce the Shahada. That they believe that you have to pray five times a day, you have to fast in Ramadan, you have to make pilgrimage once in a lifetime. They have to be told this. Doesn't mean you give them a full lecture on each pillar of Islam, a full lecture on each yani pillar of Iman. But at least you have to tell them something about Islam. So they know, at least they understand that these are things that they're going to have to learn about in detail as they go along as a Muslim. Now, you mean teach them to memorize Al-Fatiha? Before they take Shahada?
After.
Naam. After we'll teach them the details of Salat. Yani details of Wudu. But at least they have to know that there is Salat five times a day. That there's fasting in Ramadan. That there's Zakat. That there's Hajj. They have to at least know that. How we're not going to teach them the details of Hajj. Yani how you perform Hajj. From the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And what you do on the 9th. And what you do on the 10th. And what you do on the 11th. We're not going to teach them all that. We're not going to teach them how much you have to pay on cattle and on sheep and on crops. We're not going to teach them all that. We're going to tell them you have to pay zakat. We're not going to give them the details of it. But we're going to tell them there's such a thing as zakat that's obligatory on the Muslim. It has some conditions and circumstances and all of that that they will learn afterwards. But they at least have to know that they are pillars of Islam and they are pillars of Iman. The most important thing they have to know though is what? The meaning of the shahadatain. Because it's not legitimate unless they have knowledge of its meaning and certainty about it, and that they accept it fully and what it requires of them. Okay, so this is something, the punishment for the person who abandons salat is something that's agreed upon, consensus of the Muslim scholars, and that is because that person has denied, they have rejected this matter, yani the obligation of salat, which is well known, ma'lum min ad-deen. It's a well known part of this deen, bid-darura. Yani every person of necessity has to know it. وَلَا يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا حَدِيثُ الْأَحْدِي بِالْإِسْلَامِ الَّذِي لَا يَعْرِفُ مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Meaning? لا يُسْتَثْنَى. There is no exception. There is no one who is exempted from that. إِلَّا حَدِيثُ الْأَحْدِي. Somebody who just hadith al-ahd means they just recently, yani newly came to Islam, new Muslim, hadith al-ahd bil Islam, yani their association, their connection to Islam is new. They just became connected. Yani al-ahd means a covenant, for example, right? Al-ahd means a covenant. So they just, yani, entered the covenant of Islam. They just became a Muslim. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that came after this, Al-Ahd al-Ladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat. Yani al-Ahd, the covenant that separates us from them, is the salat. So a person, this is a covenant. The person who recently entered Islam, they made the covenant of Islam to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger. Yani that person might not yet have known. So this person is exempted from this ruling because, yani, maybe they don't know anything from the arkan of Islam. الَّذِي لَا يَعْرِفُ مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْئًا. Okay, this is the first darb, the first no, the first type of abandonment of salat. Yani, the person who abandons the salat, yani, out of rejection of its legitimacy. They don't even agree that it's obligatory. They refuse, they dispute, they deny the legitimacy of the obligation of salat. This person, yani, is a kafir who is outside of the fold of Islam. By agreement of the scholars of Islam, the penalty for such is execution. The second type.
You said that is denial
or rejection, to deny something or to reject it.
And inkar is a dispute.
Is to dispute or to refuse something. Yani to dispute it, yani, like I dispute this. Like you say, salah is obligatory, and he says, I dispute with you this fact. I don't agree to this. I don't accept this.
It looks to me that their meaning are close.
Close, they are close, yeah, for sure. They're close, yeah, they're almost in the same meaning. But, yani, you can say that juhud is more so on the side of the outright denial or rejection of something, and inkar mean that you dispute or argue the point.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not in agreement with it. You know, but in any case, yeah, the meaning is almost the same. The second, yani darb, or the second no, is tark. Yani tark as-salat takasulin aw tashagulin. Tarku takasulin aw tashagulin anha ma'adam inkar wa adam inkar wujubiha. Yani tark takasulan means abandonment due to laziness. Aw tashagulan anha, or being busied or occupied from the salat. Yani a person is busy with something else, it busied them, it occupied them from the salat. And if they were so busy in the marketplace, they didn't pray. Yani, but here the meaning what? Ma adam inkar. While there's no denial, no inkar, they're not disputing the obligation, they just were so busy with their business, they forgot about the salat. Or maybe they didn't forget, but I gotta finish this first. So they were occupied by something else, but they didn't deny its obligation. Ma adam inkar wujubiha. They don't deny it's obligatory, but they didn't do it either because they were lazy or because they were occupied with something else that in their mind was very important at the moment. They didn't want to leave it. وَهَذَا النَّوْءُ يُسْتَتَابُ صَاحِبُهُ أي يَطْلُبُ مِنْهُ الْإِمَامُ أَوْ نَائِبُهُ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ فَإِنْ صَلَّى خُلِّيَ سَبِيلُهُ وَإِنْ أَصَرَّ عَلَى تَرْكِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُرْتَدٌ مِثْلُ الْأَوَّلِي مِثْلُ الْأَوَّلِي نعم تَرْكُ تَكَاسِلًا The person who abandons salah due to laziness. They know it's obligatory, they agree, they say, yeah, I know it's obligatory, I'm just lazy sometimes. This is very common. Tashagulan. Yeah. How many people in their businesses, they don't close. They're just busy making money. They know it's obligatory, they don't deny it. If you go to them, they say, oh yeah, I'm going to try to do better. But they stay occupied with their business or whatever they occupy with. It doesn't have to be business, it could be just sport and play. They're watching the NBA championship. I'm not going to the masjid to pray. I'm not going to miss one second, one play. World soccer, what do they call the soccer championship? World Cup. Honey, they're not going to go to the masjid. World Cup is on.
We didn't care all night, some of the matches in Africa, maybe it's...
They pray the whole night, Qiyam, and in the daytime they watch football, they don't pray.
No, the time of... back home is going to be at night time. Instead of them praying night prayer, they want to wait for at night for the match. For the match.
Instead of praying night prayer, yeah, they wait for the match?
Yeah.
That's just as bad or worse. In any case, the point is, the person who abandons the salat while acknowledging its obligation, but due to some other reason that occupied them or their laziness, this type of person, هذا النوع يستتاب صاحبه. Then this person who does this, يستتاب أي يطلب منه الإمام أو نائبه أن يصلي. يعني يستتاب means what? He is required to make tawbah. He is requested to make tawbah, to repent. He is requested to repent. Or you may say يطلب منه الإمام أو نائبه أن يصلي. يعني the Imam, the leader of the Muslims, the head of the state, or his assistant, or whoever he appoints in the government, in the police, or whoever. Yani that person, يطلب منه أن يصلي. They request him to pray, meaning they request him to repent from the abandonment of salah and start praying again and pray. This is what happens with this person who acknowledges it's obligatory. Then he's told, you know, this is obligatory, this is a very serious sin, repent from this sin and go back to praying. فَإِنْ صَلَّى خُلِّيَ سَبِيلُهُ So if he accepts, he repents and he starts to pray, then his way, سَبِيلُهُ خُلِّيَ سَبِيلُهُ mean the way is made open for him. Meaning he's let loose, he's released. He's okay, yani let him go. وَإِنْ أَصَرَّ عَلَى تَرْكِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ مُرْتَدٌ مِثْلُ الْأَوَّلِ What is the meaning? فَإِنْ أَصَرَّ If he persists, insists, and he's not going to go back and repent. Asarra, he insists on it, persists in it, ala tark as-salah, in the abandonment of salah, فهو كافرٌ. Then he is a kafir, disbeliever, murtaddun, who has apostated, gone out of Islam, like the first one. Okay, he became like the first one. Meaning, even though verbally he's saying, yes, I agree that it's obligatory, but he refused to repent and go back to the salat. He refused to repent. So he's like the other one. Even though he's saying, I agree that it's obligatory, but in reality his action proves that he doesn't agree that it's obligatory. So he's like the one who openly says, I don't think it's obligatory. This one says, no, I know it's obligatory. But in reality that's just words. But his actions are the proof of what he really believes. He really believes it's not obligatory. That's why he doesn't pray, even when he's reminded. Even when the leader, the head of the state, threatens him, repent or else. And he still doesn't pray. He's the same as the first one, murtad. And the hukum is the same. And that's why some of the scholars said, the ruling concerning the person who abandons the salat, while acknowledging the obligation, but they just didn't pray due to laziness, some scholars differed. Some scholars said this is, yani kufr duna kufr. Yani meaning, it's kufr in terms of the actions. It's the actions of the kufar, they don't pray. But it's not kufr, yani major kufr. Yani the kufr that takes you out of Islam. There's difference of opinion about this matter. But in reality, as Imam Shawkani said, even if you say that it's kufr duna kufr, so So what Muslim is content to be declared a kafir? Yani kufr duna kufr. Oh, he's only a kafir of the lesser kufr. Yani is a Muslim content with that?
No.
A Muslim is not content with that. In any case, the correct ruling is that it is kufr, yani mukhrij min al-millah, that takes a person out of Islam. The person who abandons salat willingly, knowingly, intentionally, consciously, and even when they're reminded they still don't pray, this is the person who has gone out of Islam. And there are plenty of people who have gone out of Islam, and again I remind myself and each of us, it's not for us to declare any individual to be a kafir, even though we know he doesn't pray. We say that the yani abandoning the salat willingly, knowingly, consciously is kufr. But as far as that guy over there, whatever his name is, I'm not going to mention any name because somebody's name, yani, somebody may have that name. We don't want to offend anybody. that guy over there, yani, what he's doing is kufr. Yani, the action that he's doing is definitely kufr. Okay, the next point, after these two types of abandonment of salat, what is the dalil? What is the dalil? This should be a sub-paragraph with a title, al-dalil. Yani, al-dalil ala anna tarka salati kufrun. What is the evidence that the abandonment of salat is disbelief? Yani, disbelief that takes a person out of Islam. The first evidence is qawlullah ta'ala, فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 11th Ayat. فَإِن تَابُوا, yani, so if they repent from their kufr, from their shirk, or from their abandonment of salat, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ, and they establish the prayers, yani in their times and the way it has to be done, وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةِ, and they give the zakat, the obligatory charity that's mandatory, a pillar of Islam, فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, the meaning, فَإِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. So the one who repents and establishes the prayer with all of its requirements and gives the obligatory charity, then they are your brothers in deen. Then they are your brothers in deen. Some of the scholars of tafsir said, Ukhuwatul Islam, I'm not reading from the book, Ukhuwatul Islam tathbut bi thalathatil umur. Ukhuwatul Islam is confirmed with three matters. The first of them is at-tawheed. And the second of them is iqam as-salat, the establishment of prayer. And the third of them is itaa az-zakat. Yani these three matters confirm ukhuwa in Islam. Person has to have tawheed, they have to establish the prayer, and they have to give the zakat. Abdul bin Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he said, هذه الآية, the ayat that we just read from Surah At-Tawbah, هذه الآية حرمت دماء أهل القبلة. It makes forbidden the blood of the people of Qibla. Yani the people who pray towards our Qibla, towards Mecca, the people who perform Salat. The people who perform Salat. It's haram to kill, yani, the Ahlul Qibla, yani the Muslims, yani the people who pray towards the Qibla of Islam. Prohibited to kill them. And this is the first evidence that's mentioned, and of course there are lots of evidences. The second evidence, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qawluhu ta'ala, yani from Surah to Maryam, 19th surah, 59th ayat, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And this ayah from Surah Maryam has a couple of points that we want to make. Very important points. قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Yani after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the people who were established upon the deen, who are worshipping Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped, then Allah said, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. Then another generation came after them. خَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. Yani their children or their grandchildren who came after them. خَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ. An evil succeeding generation. An evil succeeding generation. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ. They neglected the salat. وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ. And they followed desires, the desires, yani sins, corruption. فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. So they will fall into غَيًّا, يعني means يعني punishment, hellfire. يعني some of the scholars give different interpretations of what it means, a valley in the hellfire, and so on and whatever, meaning a severe punishment in the hellfire. Then Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Except those who repent from this behavior while they are still living, and they believe, they affirm their iman, and they do righteous deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. Then these, yani those who repented and believe and do good deeds, they will enter into the paradise, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. And yani they will not be wronged, no injustice at all will be done to them. Okay, as far as this ayah, I just want to mention a couple of points of great importance. In summary, if you go and read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir concerning this ayah and some of the other tafsirs, we'll know that the scholars have two or three opinions concerning the expression in this ayah, Adha'u as-salat. Adha'u as-salat, yani they neglected, they abandoned the salat. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of it is they tarak as-salat bil kulliya. They abandoned the salat completely. They didn't pray at all. Many of the scholars from the Salaf said it doesn't mean that, because if they abandon the salat completely, this is kufr outright. But rather the meaning is the awqat as-salat, yani that they didn't perform the prayers on time. Yani they delayed and delayed and delayed, and they prayed the prayers late. Maybe they prayed the prayer at the time of the beginning of the next prayer, or it came out of its time. They didn't pray even within its time. Okay, this is the more common interpretation of this ayah, that they didn't perform their prayers in their times, the time that is supposed to be prayed. Like some people, they pray. At the end of the day, they just make up all the prayers. This is included here. No doubt, those who abandon prayer completely is included in this. This is outright kufr, for sure, no doubt about it. A third interpretation of this ayah, as some of the scholars said, is that some people, they perform the prayers in their times, but they didn't perform them properly. They didn't perform them properly. As we found in a number of different hadith, any of the people, for example, who didn't perform ruku properly, who didn't perform sujood properly, who didn't perform the prayer with khushu' like it deserves, and so on. So those people, they may get a portion of the prayer, or they may get nothing from it, like the man who the Prophet ﷺ said, a man means a person, yani a type of people who might perform prayer for 60 years and they didn't have one of those prayers recorded for them, meaning they didn't get credit for any of them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, perhaps he had performed the ruku properly, but he didn't perform the sujood properly. Or perhaps he performed the sujood properly, but he didn't perform the ruku properly. And this is the indication to us that the people who are mentioned in this ayat who abandon the prayer might not necessarily be people who don't pray at all. And some people read this ayat and they say, well, that's not me, I pray. But maybe they don't pray on time. Or they may say, I pray on time all the time. But maybe they don't give care to the prayer. And all of this is included in it, all of these meanings are included, even though probably most of the scholars said the meaning of this ayat is the abandonment of the prayer in its time, the banner of prayer in its time. Wallahu alam. Yani this is a summary of yani Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, has a long discussion concerning this particular meaning or this particular wording in this particular ayah. And he mentions yani a number of those scholars who say it means yani that they neglected to perform the prayer in its time. Okay, so yani this is a topic that you know would take a long time to discuss in detail, but we'll just suffice yani to with this summary. Okay, after that, evidences also from the Sunnah. Yani, evidences concerning the ruling of the abandonment of Salat, that is Kufr. From the evidences from the Sunnah is the Hadith of Jabir. Hadithu Jabir. We're on page 29, second paragraph. Wa Hadithu Jabirin radiallahu anhu. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bain al rajuli. وَبَيْنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْكُفْرِ تَرْكُ السَّلَاتِ رواه مسلم وأحمد وأبو داود والترمذي وابن ماجه رحمهم الله. Okay, the hadith of Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said بين الرجل وبين الشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة, meaning
between a man and
between the man and the shirk and kufr is abandonment of salat. Ar-rajul here doesn't mean the man, yani the physical masculine man, right? It means the person. It means the person. Yani bayn ar-rajul means bayn al-abd, between the human being and yani ash-shirk wal-kufr is tarku salat. Yani that which is separating the person from kufr and shirk is the salat, or the abandonment of it. Yani the person who performs the salat, he is protected from falling into kufr and shirk. The person who abandons salat, there's nothing to separate him. There's nothing between him and kufr and shirk, yani to prevent him from falling into it, if he abandons salat. So the meaning of this yani hadith is that it is the salat itself that prevents a person from falling into kufr and shirk, and therefore a person abandons salat, then they have fallen into kufr and they have fallen into a shirk. The hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and Ahmed Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah. Second hadith, hadith Buraydah radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salat. Wa baynahum, yani followed by Hamzat al-Wasl, they added Dhamma to it, right? الأحد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر رواه أحمد وأصحاب السنن. By the way, Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله, he said that this hadith in Sahih Al-Jami, he said that it's Sahih, صححه Al-Albani في Sahih Al-Jami 41-43. This hadith of Buraydah radiallahu anhu, he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Al-Ahd, yani the covenant, the agreement, the contract, alladhi baynana wa baynahum, that is between or that separates us and them. What is it that separates us and them? It is as-salat. Who is them? Al-Kuffar. Al-Ahd alladhi baynana al-Muslimun or Muslimin wa baynahum al-Kuffar. It is salat. The covenant that we have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we entered into Islam, yani the most important of it after we entered Islam is the salat. This is what separates us and them, the believers from the disbelievers. Therefore, yani fa here means therefore, man tarakaha faqad kafara, yani this is the thing that separates us from kufr. So therefore, whoever abandons the salat, man tarakaha faqad kafara, then that person has fallen into, they have indeed, yani, fallen into kufr. This hadith reported by Ahmed and Ashab al-Sunan. We mean by Ashab al-Sunan al-Arba'. Ashab al-Sunan, meaning al-Sunan al-Arba'. That is al-Imam, Abu Dawud, al-Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. And then, yani, the last hadith that he mentions here is hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, yani may Allah be pleased with both of them, that is Abdullah and his father Amr ibn al-As. An nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu dhakara as-salata yawman, yani he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that one day he, the Prophet, mentioned the salat. ذَكَرَ الصَّلَاةَ يَوْمًا فَقَالَ, he mentioned the salat and then he said, مَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا, يعني نعم, whoever preserves, guards, يعني secures, protects, حَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا, يعني على الصَّلَاةِ, whoever guards and protects and secures the salat, كانت الصلاة له نورا وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة. يعني whoever guards the prayer, يعني performs it properly and in its time, then that it would be for him, كانت له, it will be for him a light, and it will be for him a burhan, a proof to support him, and it will be for him najatan, a means of safety and salvation on the day of Qiyamah, day of standing, the day of resurrection. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَيْهَا, and whoever didn't guard the prayer, who didn't protect and preserve the prayer, لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ, then it, يعني the salat, will not be for him نُورًا وَلَا بُرْحَانًا وَلَا نَجَاتًا. It will not be for him a light, nor will it be for him a proof, nor will it be for him a means of salvation on يوم القيامة. يعني the salat is a light. يعني when a person prays, it will be a light for them, يعني to enlighten them in this world, and more importantly, it will be a light on يوم القيامة when there is darkness. And it will be a burhan, it will be a proof for them of their Islam and their Iman. And it will also be a means of salvation on يوم القيامة from the hellfire, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who doesn't guard his prayer, it will not be a light for him. There will not be a proof for him. It will not be a means of safety or salvation for him. وَكَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, and he, that person, or she, that person, كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا قَارُونَ مَا قَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَأُبَيْ إِبْنِ خَلَفٍ. And that person who doesn't guard his prayer on يوم القيامة will be with, يعني they will be resurrected, they will be standing with قارون and فرعون and هامان and أبي بن خلف. يعني قارون is who?
Moses' cousin.
Not Harun, قارون. But here in this, the mention of قارون here, it means يعني قارون was a person who was
rich.
One of the people of evil, from Fir'aun, from the rich people of Fir'aun. Rich is one of the richest people in the time of Fir'aun, Qarun. Well, Fir'aun, he was the ruler, yani the strongest, yani most powerful ruler of his time. And Haman, a minister of Fir'aun, and Ubay ibn Khalaf was a rich merchant in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is reported by Ahmed and At-Tabarani and Ibn Hibban wa isnaduhu jayyid. And Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah said isnaduhu hasan. Okay, so the end of this hadith is also yani is the main part of the proof, yani a very important part of the proof of the yani that this hadith is a proof of kufr, because the person who doesn't guard the salat on yawm al-qiyamah will be with the leaders of kufr, Qarun and Fir'aun and Haman and Ubay ibn Khalaf. He will be resurrected along with them. And the Shaykh, he says here, وَكَوْنُ تَارِكُ السَّلَاةِ مَا أَمَّةِ الْكُفْرِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ يَقْتَدِي كُفْرَهُ. Yani the fact of this person who doesn't, yani who abandons the salat, the fact that this person will be with the imams, the leaders of kufr in the next life, this indicates that person's kufr. يعني يقتضي كفره. وقال ابن القيم رحمه الله تارك المحافظة على الصلاة إما أن يشغله ماله أو عمله أو رياسته أو تجارته. يعني ابن القيم رحمه الله says the person who abandons the preservation and protection and guarding of the salat, either that person يعني has done so because he has been occupied. Imma an yashghilahu maluhu. It is because his wealth has occupied him. Or his amal, his work, his responsibility, yani what he is engaged in, has occupied him. Or riyasatuhu, yani his position of leadership, has occupied him. Or his tijara, yani has occupied him. Yani it means that, yani these people being mentioned here that he will be lined up with, means that these are the people who are occupied with their wealth, occupied with their position, occupied with their trade, occupied with yani the work that they were engaged in. فَمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَنْهَا مَالُهُ. Ibn Qayyim says, so whoever has been occupied from the salat by his wealth, فَهُوَ مَا قَارُونَ, then he will be with the rich man, قَارُونَ. وَمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَنْهَا مُلْكُهُ فَهُوَ مَا فِرْعَوْنَ. So whoever is occupied from the salat by his mulk, by his sovereignty, his kingdom, his authority in the land, then he will be yani raised up with Fir'aun. وَمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَنْهَا رِيَاسَتُهُ وَوِزَارَتُهُ فَهُوَ مَا هَامَان. Yani, so whoever is occupied from the salat by his riyasa, yani his position of leadership, authority, or as being as a minister, and he was a minister of Fir'aun, then this person will be with Haman. وَمَنْ شَغْلَهُ عَنْهَا يعني عن الصلاة تجارته فهو ما أبي بن خلف يعني whoever is occupied from the salat by his تجارة يعني his trade and business, then he will be with أبي بن خلف. So يعني the fact that a person will be resurrected with these people is an indication يعني of يعني their kufr, and it also is an indication of the various type of things that may cause a person يعني to be distracted or occupied from the salat, so that yani they abandon the salat for these various reasons. What time is it? For almost shall we go on to the next point or stop here?
Stop here.
Omar says stop here. Taib, labas. Did we get 1 hour? Yeah, we got 1 hour. Taib. Okay, let's stop here. But let me just say that some of these evidences, at least one ayah from the Quran and one hadith, should be memorized. Alright? And the reason for this is because in any issue in the deen of Islam, especially something of this magnitude, yet if a person wants to convey this affair to someone, then they have to be able to explain it along with its evidence. Okay, the dalil for whatever you're saying is so important. Yani somebody had a dispute today, a brother came to me before this class and he said, very angrily, he was a little bit upset, and he asked me after he said what he said, are you mad with me? I said, no. But he said that because the way he was talking to me was like he was arguing with me. But he was talking to me the way he had been arguing with somebody else. He was just telling me about the argument they had, but it was as though he was arguing with me. But I knew he wasn't arguing with me, so I wasn't angry with him. He said that a brother told him that this nas sunnah to recite Al-Fatiha behind the Imam. And he said he was praying and he was reciting Al-Fatiha, and the brother told him after the prayer, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, it's not permissible, this is not sunnah. And he was very upset about it, and so he came to me, and the reason why he said he came to me, he said he came to me because the brother told me that you are proof that you told him that. I said, no brother, I didn't tell him that, I don't know where you got that from. But in any case, the point I'm saying is, okay, so you have a dispute, so you need to have evidence. So he could have brought the evidence for the point of yani the person who's praying in congregation reciting Al-Fatiha behind the Imam, and then yani there's no need to go any further. But if you don't have proof, what happens is you just go back and forth. He's making some arguments, saying something, and you're making some arguments, but with no dalil, you don't get anywhere. So that's why it's important to memorize the dalil. To memorize the dalil. Because if you have the dalil, then you can stop the argument. You can say, this is the dalil, and this is the source, and you can go back and check it. And if they continue to argue at that point, what should you do? You should say, salam. قَالُوا سَلَامًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Yani at that point it's clear that the person is ignorant, they don't accept the evidence, just say salam. Salam means, I don't mean you any harm, I don't want any trouble, I'm not going to do any harm to you, please don't harm me, just let me out of here safely. Stop the argument. Now,
I have a question.
Is it related to the topic? Because I just want to close out.
Yes.
Okay, Annie,
yes.
You sure?
Yes, it is.
Taib,
fadl. How do you deal with an individual who make business next to the masjid? Here's the adhan being called every day.
No.
Don't go and pray. You see him not going to pray.
No.
He does not pray outside at the business.
Yeah, I got it. A person who is next door to the masjid, they're in their business, they don't close the shop, they don't bring somebody in to sit in for them while they go to pray. And
he doesn't even have a shop.
Whatever, selling on the street, selling in a shop, whatever. They hear their van and they don't go to pray. How do you deal with them? Well, you remind them. You inform them with gentleness and kindness, yani, with respect and humility. You inform them that this is a matter that's very serious. Islam requires us to respond to their van, to go to the masjid and pray. Yani, you try to give them some suggestions on how they can do it, how they practically can yani close up their shop or close up their business, whatever, and go to pray. And you remind them. And every time you see them, you just remind them. And yani with hikmah, you know, with compassion, with humility, with respect. And you pray for them. That Allah open their heart to that. and you don't argue with them, you don't belittle them, you don't attack them, you don't shout at them, and you don't declare them to be a kafir. You could tell them the ruling of abandonment of salat, what it is, but you don't call them a kafir, you don't call them names, and you don't argue and fight with them. I mean, they're still a Muslim. As far as we know, they're still a Muslim. Yani, the person, yani, could have whatever their condition is. I'm saying we don't declare a person to be a kafir except fulfilling the conditions of kufr, of takfir, and eliminating the mawaniya. We don't know, Rani, the whole situation of the person. I wouldn't consider that person to be a kafir, even though the ruling of abandonment of salat is kufr. But we don't know. Maybe when we went to pray, he stopped for a minute and prayed at his spot there on the ground, quickly. Four fast rak'ah, maybe. Allahu Akbar. We don't know. Like, you can't say a person didn't pray because you didn't see them pray. You know he didn't stop and go to the masjid, but we don't know if he prayed or not. Alright? So going to the masjid is obligatory, there's no doubt about it, but for the men. But, you know, in any case, the bottom line is maybe he is praying. Maybe he's praying late, maybe he's praying later, maybe he's praying quickly, Allahu Alam. And you have mercy, have compassion, remind him, encourage him, pray for him. And you make dua, make sincere dua. Like you, like the seriousness of the matter to you, this person is not praying, it's really upsetting, it's troubling, pray for him then. Because your sincere prayer may cause Allah to open his heart and turn him around. Because some people who didn't pray started praying. There were people who didn't pray and then they started praying. There were businesses in this area right here. People who had stores right in this area around this masjid who didn't used to pray. And then after some time they started praying. From somebody reminding them, encouraging them, then they started praying. Sometimes people in one condition, yani if we pray for them, Allah may open their heart and help them. Yani I'm going to stop here and then we'll take the rest of the discussion afterwards because some people may need to leave. They may be on their way to another masjid or whatever. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.